Right. So the approach is a multilateral approach, and the idea behind it is that every country will be able to benefit. At this point in time, it doesn't look as if your citizens who are living outside of the U.S. will have different access to the vaccine than anyone else, right? Any kind of special treatment.
That was the broader point, I think, of the previous caller who talked about the need for really understanding our history and focusing on unity, because I think that's something that the United States has been focused on, as you know, really thinking about this in moral human terms and trying to expand equitable access for everyone in a way that's transparent so that the world can see.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Dr. Haynes. How are you this morning?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm living and enjoying life.
Glad to
hear. I have three topics I want to raise this morning. First, I want to find out, when you take the first shot of the vaccine, and then you go for take the second one, how long the vaccine is supposed to last in your body? How many years, months, how long the vaccine is supposed to stay into your body before you actually get another shot, like another 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or down the line? That's one of the questions I want to ask.
You know what? I'll say on that, I've been doing a lot of reading on this out of personal interest, but also this is a question that continues to be raised during the press conferences that the CDC and our health authorities in the United States have. And from my understanding, it's still something that's under active investigation, how long the immunity, the antibodies will work. But of course, the other variant here is that there are increasing variants around the world that are popping up. Some of them seem to be less resistant to vaccines, and that's why it's so important that we, as quickly as possible, work to get vaccines out all over the world to reduce the chance that any of those variants will take hold and spread even further. So that's what we're focused on. In terms of the actual data about when you might need a booster, if you need a booster, I think that's something that the health authorities, both here in Barbados and their counterparts around the world, will continue to put out information on as it becomes available. It seems like that's an active question that our health authorities around the world are investigating right now.
All right, one more question on that before I go to my next point. Suppose I take the vaccine that comes from India today, and Barbados do not get that vaccine from India to give me the second dose, and they have to go to China to get it or another country. How would that affect my body, having two different types of vaccine in the body?
I don't think that's what is planned, though, because right now the vaccine doses are, so the doses have come in a pair. So the 100,000 doses that the government of Barbados has received, that is the first dose and the second dose. So people who have received their first vaccine don't have to worry about the shipment for their second dosage. It is people who have not been vaccinated as yet who have to wait on this next shipment whenever it will arrive in Barbados to receive their first dose. So I don't think, I've heard you on the program asking or raising this point before, but I don't think you need to be concerned here. I know, I think in the U.S. there was a point in time when, and I'm not sure if this is still the case, perhaps Mr. Tordella can correct me, when the idea was to give everybody a single dose and then see what will happen with the second dosage. But as far as I understand, that's not what's happening here.
Yeah,
do you
I'll just say...
Do you have any insight on this, Mr. Tordella?
Yeah, I'll just say that's my understanding as well, that that the second doses are being held back for the people who've already had the first dose. So I think your health ministry, your chief medical officer, have been on some of these press conferences that they hold and have really answered, I think, questions like this previously. So I'd refer you to them on what Barbados' plan is. But Dr. Haynes is correct that in the early days when vaccines were just developed, but yet there was even less of a supply than there are now, people were floated the idea of whether we should just roll out as many doses as we have. But my understanding is that it's not that never actually happened, and was just an idea that was suggested at the time. But yeah, it's really important to just, as far as I understand it from the health authorities, it's really important to take the vaccine as soon as it's available for you, and to go back and take that second dose whenever the health authorities advise you should take that second dose so that you're fully vaccinated.
All right, thanks very much on that. My other point is care packages. I find that there was a lot of difficulty in the care packages. People complained they didn't get in. I feel of myself that the government should work with the post office. The post office, the postmen know every house in Barbados. So the post office was for Christchurch. The government should allow the postman to work with the defense force and the persons that issuing the care packages so that everybody will get the care packages, because the postmen know the houses and know the vulnerable houses and vulnerable families. So I feel they should put the postmen, have a conversation with postmen, not automatically push them into it. Have a conversation with post office and deliver all the care packages at every post office. That is one. The next one is about the monkeys and the agriculture. My problem with the monkeys, I feel of myself, if the monkeys causing problems with the people that are planting the vegetables and so on, what they should do, they should set up traps on their land, catch the monkeys, and then I just send them to the wildlife reserve. Don't kill them, send them to the wildlife reserve, and in the off, plant banana trees that they can feed the monkeys in a trap every day to stop the monkeys from destroying the crops. Because it's easier to plant a spot of bananas and cage the monkeys on your property and feed them than to lose all your profits of your crop. Mm. And people got to realize that monkeys. Uh-huh. Right, because that's the only way about killing them. And monkeys can be a very, how should I say, can be successful where tourism is concerned. Because if you recheck, a lot of tourists love animals and they love monkeys.
We have a wildlife reserve that's full of monkeys, you know. We don't have a shortage
I know. But what I'm saying is that we can actually lead the tourists go to those areas and, you know, view those areas and it will be an attraction to the tourists, not only the wildlife reserve. And people could do things, train monkeys, that hold a train dogs to sniff out drugs and things, train some young monkeys to sniff out cadaver bodies. And
so they work at the airport and with the police and so on.
And train the monkeys. And that'd be so, how should I say, tourists would like that because they see monkeys coming through between the luggage and so on and the drugs and so on and all that. So monkeys are very intelligent. Use the monkeys.
That's an idea. Okay.
Right.
Well, thank
next
you.
Thing. One more thing. One more thing.
Oh, you have
ma'am.
Another one? All
right,
go on.
No, I can finish off quick. Right. I can cut it short. Let some words come in. I can cut it short. Thanks very
and
much.
I think Mr. Tardella may have to leave us as well, so I don't want to detain him. Go on. Are you still there?
I'm still here. I learned a lot about monkeys in the last comment. I didn't know people were killing them. That's horrible.
Yeah, our caller is gone, but I thank you so much for joining us. I know your time this morning was limited, and I'm sure there are other questions that may arise throughout the program, so you can listen in and hear what people have to say. And many of you might know that we do have a podcast available for this program. It's available on Voice of Barbados' website. Those of you who don't know, you can visit it if you miss any part of the program and you want to hear what happened during the day. So I thank you for your participation this morning, Mr. Tardella, and I hope that you have achieved your objective and people that have also received some clarity on what is happening with the COVAX facility. I'm sure there are many questions still to be asked.
Well, thank you, Dr. Hines. I know my embassy colleagues and I always look forward to joining your show, and I hope you and the listeners have a blessed day. Take care.
Thank you. Take care. All right, this is Down to Brass Tacks, and we had a visitor this morning, as you heard. That was Mr. Tardella from the U.S. Embassy for Barbados and the Eastern Caribbean. He provided some information on the COVAX facility, and I wonder if during the course of the day people will have other questions about this, how it works. There were some comments in the chat, not questions as such. Let's see what our callers have to say. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Hello, good morning.
You're on
Hello.
The air. Good morning. Welcome.
Hi, good morning. I'm so sorry that your guest has gone.
Well, he was only supposed to be here for 15 minutes, and we kept him for 39.
Right, but so. I think he gave more information on on what should have come from the medical people then, from an embassy. What I was really interested to hear him say is how he is working with our prime minister to get COVID-19 vaccines down here to Barbadians. You know,
well, that's not really what, is that really what he said?
No. That was what I was interested in hearing him say. Mm-hmm. Do you, after listening to him, get the impression that we are any closer to getting vaccines from America?
Well, the impression, what I understand is that the United States is contributing to the COVAX facility and that Barbados is using the COVAX facility to access vaccines. So in that way, there is assistance, but there's not a direct bilateral. So between Barbados and the United States, there doesn't seem to be any direct agreement for the access of vaccines in that way. And what Mr. Tordella noted is that the view of the U.S. is that it is preferable to work through the multilateral facility, which is the COVAX facility.
Right. So, I
did ask the question about any gifts.
When we listen to our Caribbean leaders, then we get an impression that these countries that produce the COVID-19 vaccine, they're sort of keeping it for themselves, and they don't intend to send any vaccines down here to the Caribbean in no hurry. That's the impression that we get. We have to purchase, but everybody is complaining how difficult. And when we think about Barbados and our tourism industry, and how we welcome millions and millions of Americans in our country and treat them like family, and then when it comes to serious issues, we see that we're not included at all.
So you're talking about the ways in which I thought
you were going to bring him on, that he can tell us the progress that our Prime Minister is making through himself to get vaccines to this island. I thought that was the main thing that we were going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think that might be a question for the
because
Prime Minister.
Because I'm really, very disappointed.
This is a diplomatic representative, you know? Why are you disappointed? Because you don't know what the relationship
between the U.S. and America, but with England and Canada,
right?
Countries that we have great relationships with. We think so, that we have great relationships with. And yet, we're finding it so difficult to get vaccines down here for, what's the population of the Caribbean? What, 6 million?
Yeah.
Huh? I mean, that's
so you don't just
bucket.
Mean Barbados, you mean the entire
that's
region?
That's a drop in the bucket. That's a drop in the bucket. That's nothing. And yet we find it so difficult. And especially in these islands where our health system can be very easily compromised. So you think other countries should be doing more to help us?
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think that they're dragging their feet. They're very reluctant to help us. They're very selfish. They want to take it for themselves. That's what I think. Mm. And I don't think that conversation with that guy on radio does not do anything to inspire confidence in Barbadians.
So can I ask you a question? Are you not sympathetic with the fact that even in the U.S. and in the U.K. and across Europe, they themselves are struggling to have access inside of the country to the vaccine.
I am appreciative of that. But are you telling me because of that, that then people in the Caribbean and poor countries should be the very, very last people in which to be able to access these vaccines? Are you saying that?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. I think the whole idea is that they should be distributed equitably.
The rich will get it, the rich countries will get it, and the poor countries will suffer, and that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. In Barbados, we have been quite privileged.
Nobody has questions to him. He'd rather talk about what World Health Organization's protocols are. I mean,
he had to talk about what his mandate is, Kadir. He can't come and talk as a political operative.
No, we want health advice from our health professionals. But from a guy in an American embassy, I should be understanding that, she is working with Ms. Motley, regardless of how difficult it is at the time, because everybody wants the same thing. But he is working with Ms. Motley in order to procure vaccines for Barbadians.
But he can't tell you that if that's not the case.
Huh?
He can't tell you that if that's not the case, though.
In that area at all. So why was he here?
Well, he asked to come on the show, so we let him come.
Why was he here?
And speak. And inform the country about what the United States is doing. And that's the state of affairs. There's nothing that I right now on this station can do to change the state of affairs. But your concern has definitely been well aired. And I thank you for calling. So we have some concerns with what Mr. Tordella delivered this morning. And I think that was to be expected. Let's take another call. Good morning. This is Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, Dr. Hines.
Morning.
Dr. Hines.
Yes, please.
Before I go on to what your guest made mention of, let me first congratulate the Prime Minister in making sure that those care packages were taken care of and not by politicians. And I can keep saying that until I can't say no more.
Mm-hmm.
The only problem I said, and that result, is that you should have had a body set up to investigate what you would consider the most vulnerable and give them more than one package. The idea about sending a postman or attaching the postman to that, giving out of packages, really don't fit in, because you cannot at any time prove who is vulnerable from who is not vulnerable because you're visiting a house. I can give you an example. I had an old lady used to sell bush in town. She usually got on an old hat, and sometimes you see her in one or two dresses, not very often change. And if you see that old lady selling bush, you will believe and feel for that woman that even if she had wanted lunch, you would give her. You know, when that old lady died, she left over $100,000 in the bank. And they got people who dressing up and look presentable can't even save $10,000. So the vulnerability of a family does not determine how you look or how you behave. You've got to investigate to find out what sort of pension they're receiving, what sort of salaries they're receiving. So a person just can't pick up that day. Don't mind he be visiting the house every day. He don't know what that person has. That is one.
Okay.
Now, let me go on to the idea about America and these vaccines. I, as a person, could not accept any advice from the United States of America pertaining to vaccine. With the amount of deaths that we heard on the radio, those people that die in America. And if you living at home, you could not solve your own problem. Could you solve somebody's problem on the outside?
Fair point. I said that's a fair point. I mean, one of the things with the U.S., and I am not a U.S. defender or anything, is that we have had a change in administration. So perhaps what Mr. Tordella was, and I did indeed get a note from them before he came on the program, it indicated a shift in approach by the new administration, the Biden-Harris administration. So I believe that is, you know, part of this shift. But your point is certainly well taken, because if it is that a particular country has faced issues handling the pandemic internally, should we rely on them for assistance in handling the pandemic externally with other countries? But you know, we could raise the same point for India, because one of the interesting things I have seen is that people in India are not too pleased that they do not have access to vaccines and their government is giving away vaccines to other countries. I think there are many dynamics for us to think about when we look at this vaccine diplomacy, as it is being called.
All right. I want to deal with 2 points domestically at home.
Sure.
Now, we're talking about COVID and what we should do to solve or prevent COVID from spreading. Transportation is an integral part of our economy. Then we started transportation. I mean, all it now we still have what you call conductors on buses. Now tell me, is this song relevant or is this make any sense? We no longer have conductors on transport board buses. What I would like to see, this is my opinion, a bus is being sanitized when it reaches the bus terminal. I would like to see, and we're looking for employment, we have monitors on the bus, because when the bus is traveling, a passenger gets off and won't get on. When this person gets out of that seat, the seat is not being sanitized. And when the person gets in the bus, is not being sanitized. So what I would like to see for employment purposes and for protection according to what we are hearing about COVID, that it should have monitors on the bus or the buses to do the sanitizing when the passenger get up and go and when they get on. Instead of waiting until they get to the terminal, because that is one of the prevention. Just if you go into the supermarket, you have to be sanitized. When you're getting on the bus, it should be sanitized. When you get up, the bus seat should be sanitized. And you could form employment by improving and still using. We use the conductor to collect money. But since COVID is such a dynamic pandemic, I think we should use sanitizers now on the bus instead of conductors as such. That's one. What do you think about that?
Let me ask you a question, though. Why can't people carry their own and look after themselves when they're on the bus? Because
well,
I know that
responsibility is on the transport board.
But I am also responsible for my health.
But
if I go someplace and I realize that, go on.
We understand that you are at your home, and people will tell you what you should have wrong your home, right or not. Huh? Well, that is enough of that. Now let me go on now to a hurdler.
Fair enough. Go on. Continue. I mean, I still think that if you see that things are not sanitized, you should be walking with your own alcohol, wipe off the seat, and then sit down. Because if we leave everything up to the government, let me tell you, we will be in a serious situation.
I put away your idea, you know.
I agree. Okay,
that is only an idea.
It's
now,
true.
The other thing, though, I watched TV last night. And I heard the Minister of Youth and Development, I think he is, and the Attorney General speaking about setting up community centers or refurbishing them and building one at Basuba. I have no problem with building community centers. But we got to think in terms now. The community, I was involved, as I told already, I'm 70 now. I was involved with the Barbados Youth Council in those days, and we used to use the school rooms for community purposes. And then the modern day community centers that used to have TV and things in there where you could go and watch. Then TVs were not so prevalent. The point is, at this time, you have no church services going on because you can't go into church. You can't go at funerals. They know more than about 10 or some people around. Now, if you build these community centers, where are these people or how they're going to congregate? I'm not saying that a community center is not important, but you also got to understand and find out what is happening within the community centers. I remember in 1970-71, I could speak of my experience. There was a bath that was going to be built. In those years, the Democratic Labor Party used to preach a lot about building toilet and bath. They take up because the community needed toilet and bath. And I recall very much where the DLP was pushing to build a toilet and bath in a place near Branch, very instant. Lindsay Border, who is still alive, but he is up in age, was the candidate running on behalf of the Barbados Party. And he said, it is stupid and it is foolish to build a toilet and bath when people are developing themselves. Why don't you give the people the money to run running water into their house? Because as long as they have running water, they have no uses for the bath. You know, the Democratic Labor Party went on and built the toilet and bath, and it was never utilized for the purpose I understand it maybe a library or a church in it. No.
What so I, you're saying it, that this is the same thing with community centers, that is going to be a waste of money, just like building a toilet, a freestanding toilet and bath.
Even in these communities, saying? No. You know that sometimes the people don't even know the next door neighbor that live inside of them. And in a community center, what we usually do, in my day, we would call the next door neighbor and say that they're going to have a debate. Because in those days, you have a lot of people involved in education and things. We used to have debates, cricket, dominoes, all sorts of things. But people don't left the house now. They got all of these gadgets at the house.
You can't leave now, remember?
Huh? And you can't leave. Really, but that's the point that I'm getting at. You bring it more precise than allowing me to go there. You can't meet. So what would the major purpose of a community center right now than there are other things that is needed at the present moment? That is all I'm saying. Thank you for allowing me.
And thank you for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Radio.